Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the UAW Factory Whistle Show, April 18th, 2021. We have Scott and Jim. Take it away, boys.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, good evening, Scott. I hope everything's going good out there with everybody. We were blessed with a beautiful day today here.
Groovy.
Yep. Somebody else was kind of blessed, I think, with a it's a mixed blessing. I think it's a blessing in disguise, maybe. Dublin Volvo Truck Workers, their UAW Local 2069, walked out this morning at 6 a.m. on strike. And what they're claiming to, is an unfair work practice and a failure to come to an agreement with the company.
There you go. Congratulations.
Right, there's the sisters out on strike, and they'd also like to have their wages, I believe, addressed.
Now,
where are they actually at now, Scott? Are they
Dublin Volvo 2069 is Virginia.
Okay.
It's in Virginia.
I know most of them plants through there, so that's probably actually an old GM building. I've got pretty good odds of that.
Could be.
Yeah, probably is. Let me get Adrian on. Adrian, you are on.
Good evening.
Good evening,
sister.
Did it say where in Virginia? Don't say where in Virginia, just in Virginia.
I'm thinking it's Dublin, Virginia. It says it's Dublin Volvo. I'll find out. Local
26. Oh, okay.
No, I knew GM had an SPO down there that they switched over long before what they did to the rest of them here, but that's another story for another time. Like I was talking to you earlier, I was just shocked that in the aftermath of being supposedly having an overseer over us to make sure we're going to get to the true memberships, wants, and needs, we get this, I'm going to call him an out-of-town attorney. You know, what? Why do we need somebody from New York wondering what the hell's going on in Detroit? Can somebody answer that, please?
I can't.
Well, if you stop and you think about where they're incorporated at.
Yeah.
The companies.
Good thought.
Not the UAW, the companies.
This is true.
It's always like we love the company, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we do. To answer questions, it is Dublin,
sorry,
Virginia.
Oh, it is Dublin. Okay.
Dublin, Virginia. Yep. I went and looked their local number up. So.
Well, I'm going to double my ass up to the coffee pot. I'll be right back.
Oh, bring me a cup.
Yeah, there you go. So, we got that going on. I mean, there were some announcements this week that was something, you know, and I don't know the whole plight with the Dublin Volvo truck plant, but it was Mr. Curry, who's our financial secretary. He's also the head of the heavy truck department, I guess, for the UAW. And I kind of have a problem with that because if I remember right, Jimmy Castile, who was trying to help organize Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Yeah, he was supposed to be down there. In fact, I thought he was the one that held the one Jewel Boy's hand down there when they went down.
Because when they showed him on TV, when they showed him on the, he looked so scared, and he looked like he'd had a hard night the night before, too.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, you're right. He took Norwood's kid down there, and then in the end he left him there, and he wound up ramrodding or whatever, hooking the funnel up or whatever you want to call it, but yeah.
Well, Castile was the one that never got named in any of this shenanigans that they've been involved in. I found that interesting.
Yeah, and they even know he got a nice place paid for down there in Florida, wasn't it?
I believe so. Probably not that far
but,
from Jimmy.
You know, he got probably rewarded a little bit better because of the bucket brigade he ran there over at, I think that was, unfortunately, my sister's plant 600 again. It's where he ran that bucket brigade, wasn't it?
Jimmy Settles? Yeah.
Yeah, Jimmy Settles was out of local 600.
A lot of wonderful people come out of 600.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a big local.
It sure is.
It's amalgamated.
They used to send me pins every Christmas.
That's one thing you mentioned, Adrian, amalgamated. You know what? This UAW, in my humble opinion, we were a hell of a lot better before we started this amalgamated shit because you threw a wild card, a trump card, an out-of-order card, and a bunch of other bullshit cards in there when you amalgamated all our locals, in my humble opinion.
There, you know, there's no easy way to say this.
But just say it.
It's amalgamation. It's just not kind of right for us, not the way that they do it. This is why we only have 150,000 current active UAW members, auto workers.
Right.
If you stop and you think about, just like Local 600, we have clerical staff, we have the hospitals, we have Henry Ford Hospital System, Midwestern Vision, if they're still in existence. We have the nurses. We have quite a few different ones. And I just named some of them. And so this is why, the way that I look at it, we're being overrun with other entities. You know, I always say United Auto Workers, Aerospace, and Agriculture.
Yes, you do. For a reason.
Yes. And so we're being overrun just to get anybody as a member.
Right.
Or any entity to come in under the membership umbrella. What happens
right.
when these other entities decide, oh, well, you know, we want to get rid of this entity?
Yeah.
And it's just something to look at for future.
Well, they'll puff at my local with it. I mean, if you want to run for something in the plant, you had to have the ability to get into the six other locals if you wanted to run for something plant-wide. You know, but if you weren't on the dream team, let me say, you know, the one that was going to the Olympics, they'd call the cops on you and went to the other property. Now, when you can run for something in your own plant, but then there's five other plants that you can't even touch ground on, I got a problem with the democracy there because there isn't a democracy. It's a dictatorship through delegates and drinking Kool-Aid and buying drinks and giving cigars and God only knows what they give these people, but it's wrong. Just like me and you and everybody on this show has said for many years, tears are nothing more than tears of discrimination, and we're never going to get by that until you eliminate it where we all get the same pay. We all get the opportunity to make the same dollar. Once you do that, then we're ready to go fight management people. Don't forget that.
Well, one thing, they should have never got rid of classifications. Because
right.
you can't all make the same money because you're doing different things. And so when they got rid of classifications, that was kind of like the end of a whole lot of things, too.
Yeah, let me get Brother Paul on. Paul, you are on. Push one on your keypad, everybody, in the switchboard. I'll get you on as soon as I can.
Greetings to Rabble Rousers.
Greetings,
Paul.
I think there's a strategy behind that amalgamation. It makes it virtually impossible for a rabble-rouser to win a local-wide election. Because you have to build contacts in the other plants. And most people that hold union office now aren't interested in making a positive difference. They're just interested in riding the gravy train. And, it, you know, it's pretty hard to find somebody like-minded in another plant. You know, you don't have any way of making contact with them.
But they're not all plants.
What's that?
Keep in mind, they're not all plants.
Well, units, whatever you want to call them, the different units of an amalgamated local, it's hard to make contacts in the other units because you don't really have any, right to be on the property, more or less. I mean,
there are ways.
Pardon me?
There are ways.
But it's very difficult to get inside.
Yeah, I was in contact with clerical staff of the state of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
I was in contact with Henry Ford healthcare workers.
Yeah.
No, but what we're saying is when we're trying to go out and hand our handbills out in front of the plants or units within our local, how the committee man and the people, and like I even had one person over there from the election committee go inside the gate, ring their clock, and call security up front, telling them I was outside campaigning. And far as they knew, I was not an employee of that division.
Okay.
And me and Paul were constantly removed. Yet if we stand out by the road, now we're clearly, it's a traffic hazard, so here comes Flint's finest.
Mm-hmm, of course.
They're still trying to figure out how the hell the old bugger got, 900 volt, Paul?
Oh, something like that. The thing is, they make, by amalgamating, it helps the international union keep control.
Agreed.
That's what it's all about. They want to cut agreements with management. They want to be your sole bargaining agent. They just want you to shut up and take whatever they ram down your throat. And the thing is, management, it's in their best interest to preserve the system we have now. I mean, management can't legally meddle in our affairs, but, they know what to do to kind of help out the union leadership without, doing something illegal. And because management doesn't want a bunch of rabble-rousers fighting back against the contract. They want a smooth ride. I mean, that's one of the reasons we got these long-term contracts now. It used to be three-year contracts. And under a three-year contract, management could only violate your contract for 3 years before it was up and things went down to serious bargaining. Now they've got, 4 years?
Right, four years.
Yeah, that's what
it is. Wasn't it 2 years once upon a time?
Some locals were 2 years once upon a time. Most of them a lot in the 70s were. But I suckered these people so good at my old local. If you remember right, between, say, Halloween on to Christmas, it used to get pretty tight in there as far as OT. People fighting tooth and nail. Well, I found out, I happened to notice, man, if I kicked up a lot of shit on the plant floor, hey, we're going to the Union Hall this Sunday, they'd work us. Shit, I did that for 3 years in a row until they caught on. I used the same damn excuse. It worked good once. I thought it worked toward twice, but no, it didn't.
So with amalgamated, when you have the structure set up at the local, the amalgamated units will share, I believe, they will share president, vice president. I'm not sure about recording secretary, and they will share the financial secretary.
What they share, do have to do, they share everybody at the local.
Correct.
Yes, but
yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, but what they have to do though, by law, is they can't share. Let's say. The chairman of, let's say, the truck plant. They have to, each unit has to elect their own vice president and their chair.
That's
so fall under the president.
Every unit has its own shop committee and its own executive board within the unit.
Correct.
But, no.
Yeah.
No, no.
Yes,
they'll
they do.
I serve
on the executive board.
The metal center for two terms. You have, and each unit has its own union meetings. Then you have a general meeting, you know, for all the units. But it, you know, it just makes a big mess for the membership. But it just works well for the top leadership because they keep the kind of order they want.
Right. What I never understood is how can you represent me when I got a problem with sanitation per se, but for sanitation is in our unit, but they're under a different union than a contract. I don't see how you're like what the engine talked about. You're speaking with forked tongues, brother. And it's not good for our union. I mean, how do you represent both sides of the argument? Well, I guess they sit on both sides of the board, don't they, Don?
Yeah.
So I guess it is okay. I'm just confused, people. I'm sorry. Continue.
Well, I know, now with the contract, like you had the cleaners in the plant facilities, and the cleaners are contracted.
Yep.
But they wooed them and made them members. Now they have their own chair. But their chair, the chair of the automotive chair is the chair of the building.
Right.
So that could get a little confusing too.
Right.
Well, that was
the main bargaining unit.
The main bargaining unit. That chair is the chair of the whole. It really makes no sense.
Well, from management's point, it makes a lot of sense. It creates a lot of chaos. You know, what management has been trying to do for years, and they've been very successful, is just break us down into bite-sized units, you know. Take a plant that has 8,000 workers in it, outsource a large share of their work, get the union to go along with that, get the union to go along with combining classifications, having a separate contract for the janitors than you have for the the other people in there. And when you got a small union, you don't have much clout. I mean, seriously, if you got 20 janitors in a union, what clout do they have?
Think about what Adrian just said, though. If you're the bigger of the locals, you have the most clout. Well, think about the local we came from. Now we're under 400. I know the engine plants got more than us, and you damn sure know the old STL. They call it something else now, but the Miller Road location has got more people than all of them when you add in their seven. I think they got seven tiers in there now, I was told.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, the Metal Center had 3,700 people working in 1998. And, you know, they've just gone along with all kinds of lunacy. They've outsourced most of their work, and I don't know. I don't understand the rationale when, what was it, the union went along with the idea that metal centers won't bid on any work parts that are shorter than 28 inches. Well, that was probably about 80% of their work.
Yes, it was. It was over 80% of our work we weren't allowed to bid on. That was through, what was his name, Spielman, the executioner?
But, you know, what was the rationale on the union side? I mean, you know, for a union, your strength is in your numbers. And
well, they were looking at
well
the other. They
what's
were
that?
Looking at the. I think they were looking at the tiers and the lawnmower companies, because back then, you know, they didn't have them, but they damn sure got them now, don't they?
We're basically the top leadership. The union is cooperating with in our demise. It's like Dave Yetaw once said that management's playing chess and the union's playing checkers. I mean, management's playing a far more sophisticated game.
Mm-hmm.
They're winning all the time.
That's right.
Yeah.
We could have less than 10,000 workers at General Motors before it's all over.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because this last week they brought up they're going to make us, General Motors is going to partner up with Ultimum Cells, LLC. It's a joint venture with LG Energy and General Motors to make the batteries. And they talked about wages. And General Motors said, and I quote, GM said wages at the battery plants would be determined by Ultimum Cells LLC. And the union is saying, oh, we expect them to get paid what the auto workers are getting paid. And General Motors says, you'll have to take it up with our partners, because we're not going to negotiate the contract.
Well, they don't do very good for them people at Brownstown anyway, if you know the history of what they pay them people down there.
I know a girl down there
at 5 years, she was still under $13 an hour. So don't tell me they're feeding them a lot of gold.
Our union is backing fast food workers that want to make $15 an hour, and we're not fighting for that for our own members.
No.
They're the biggest hypocrites in the world. You know, they'll talk about the language.
Adrian, are you aware with the language of that Ford hot metal stamping agreement they had down there at, it was down south of Detroit, Woodhaven. It point blank says that their starting salary in 2021, I believe this is the year, so that would be now, because I remember the old man went nuts over this. It'll be a quarter over the state's minimum wage, whatever that is at that time. Now, you tell me what union's happy with making a quarter, 25 cents more than minimum wage, and then you're going to force some people to pay you union dues? Bah, humbug.
That's nine minimum wage of the state is, what is it, 9.25 or 9.50?
The UAW has the lowest standard.
So those people are
going to
make under $10 an hour? Shit. Ooh, Jesus. And like you said, you know, they were out there talking to the fast food workers. Oh, yes, $15 an hour. So that was just a bunch of crap that they were.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She disappeared.
Yeah.
Adrian, did you mute yourself?
I think she was getting ready to use some profanity, and she stepped in her blumblah. She'll call back.
No,
yes,
she's still on. I don't know if she muted herself. She's still in the switchboard.
Yeah, but you remember that, I think, Scott, don't you? Dick went absolutely ape shit over that back then, so, and he was alive, so that had to be like 7, 2017 that was in
on
their
one
agreement?
Hand,
over?
You want to pay people. You're not going to fight for them.
Adrian,
you're
cutting in and out, Adrian. I don't know what's going on with your phone there. You and Scott must be on the same plan.
I think management has the UAW so tied up in red tape that they don't even know how to fight anymore.
Yeah, you might be right.
Now, the union said that they said they would work with these people so that they get good-paying jobs. So to make sure these are good-paying union jobs like those of the brothers and sisters who make internal combustion engines. That's what the union said. That's not what management's saying. They said that the top-scale production in the combustion engine and transmission plants at GM, Ford, and Stellantis make more than $31 an hour. But when the Lordstown plant was announced in 2019, Mary Barris said that the worker pay would follow GM's component manufacturing strategy where workers are paid less. So if you go to GM Assembly Batteries in Brownstown, like Jimmy's talking about, the union agreed in 2009 to $15 to $17 an hour to assemble the batteries, and now canceled Chevrolet Volt back then, what's a little more than what Amazon pays at its distribution centers, and are just above what a proposal $15 an hour for new federal minimum wage. GM said it also paid $22.50 an hour at union-represented parts manufacturing plants. So, like you said, there's this huge pay scale, and if I remember right, I'm thinking when I talked to the people down there in Swartz Creek at the GM aftermarket or after, what is it, the
sales,
parts component. They topped out. There was still some legacy workers there. I'm sorry. There's still some high seniority workers there. And they were making General Motors wages. But everybody else below them, some of them were topping out at $19 an hour. That was top wage after 6 years.
Yep, that's why, people, Brian Keller's told you this also for years. You will never come up to what used to be what they referred to as a legacy, and I don't know what the hell you're going to call us now. I guess most of us are retirees now. Pretty soon we're going to be has-beens and should-have-beens.
Yeah. So, we'll see what happens.
But that's why they want to get rid of us, Scott, because we, as in Adrian, you, Don Couch, Paul, all of us with over 20 years and are enjoying our pensions and are looking forward to it, know what a good union could do because we see it. We get it.
Right.
But we also see what this bullshit's done of us sitting back and not doing nothing. But I'm going to tell you people this, what I didn't realize is they did a lot of shit behind our back that we, just like they do with you people on the contract today. It's called highlights for a reason. We didn't get to read the whole contract back then. Don't get me
wrong.
Well, we know we've got the one battery place that's under construction right now in Lordstown. The new one that they announced this last week is at Spring Hill. I don't know whereabouts in Spring Hill it is, or if it's going to even be attached to the Spring Hill Assembly Plant. But it's going to be in Spring Hill, Tennessee.
That doesn't surprise me.
No.
Well, the way their state works with unions and bad mouses and pays for all the donuts for every... Think about that. They buy donuts for that whole damn plant every... at least one day a week, remember?
Wow.
I couldn't believe that, Don.
Yeah, I know.
I probably had enough shit to close that, at least that one yo-ho down, but I threw it away because Uncle Dick had a file on that piece of shit that was long all the way to the outhouse, but in the end, it all it looked like it all went back to Davis Vision and Jokic, and I think that's why Dick was so hurt in the end. He knew it all went back to one of his family members.
Yeah.
Mary Barra is probably the shrewdest CEO General Motors has ever had. She's not even pretending to work for the union.
She don't have to. She's got a bra.
Well, she owns them. You know, they own the union with joint funds.
Yep, and she knows how to play the tune.
Yeah. Yeah, they clearly don't know how to deal with her. And but the thing is, she's shown absolutely no integrity at all dealing with the union. You know, the Lord, what happened to Lordstown shows that. And she clearly has no respect for the UAW leadership whatsoever, because she knows they're just going to take whatever she dishes out.
Yeah. There's a fellow who works for the Guidehouse Insights Principal Analysis. His name is Sam Abulmasid. I'm sorry, I'm butchering his name. He said the union's going to lose a huge number of jobs from engine and transmission plants. They're replaced by battery plants, he said. They're going to have job reductions in the assembly plants due to the simplified production of EVs. Will probably somewhere be between 25 and 30% fewer people required to build them under the same number of vehicles.
And the union won't fight to get anything insourced.
Well, do you understand why that is, Scott? And actually, I know you guys do, but people understand, you're not going to need a transmission no more because you're going to have four electric motors, one on each wheel. Voila, you got four-wheel drive. You ain't going to need brakes either because that comes in that motor either. So all them people are gone anyway, and they damn sure know that. But we're going to need more people making batteries. Well, instead of letting these people float over to them jobs and take their pay scale, no, you want to cut the shit in half and tell them you're going to have to be second class. Thank you very much, UAW.
Well, we're also...
And Mary Barra and the United States government, because they all see what's going on, and they all see that they're in bed with each other, and they won't even enforce their own laws that are on their own books. And by the way, I believe it was called RICO, is it not?
Well, why should they when the union won't enforce its own contract? Back when they were downsizing severely a few years ago, we had secure employment levels, and the union wouldn't enforce it. Look at all the jobs we lost at the metal center. And, you know, they didn't enforce the cell. And the thing is, the union won't fight for what they have in writing. But we're also overlooking the other thing, too. Mary Barra wants to take everything electric. What if electric doesn't sell?
Yeah.
What if people don't want it? Hey, how about if the oil companies decide, look, we're going to protect our turf. We're going to start our own auto company building gasoline-powered vehicles. It's hard for me to believe that all these oil companies are just going to take this.
Yep.
Go ahead, Scott.
And this is one issue that we're looking going forward. Some of it needs to be addressed now, but some of the stuff is coming up yet. So we have a chance to do something about it. I'm using that term loosely. But right now we're dealing with part shortages and a chip shortage. And now, you know, it's made it into the public news now. Down in Fort Wayne, they got hundreds of brand-new trucks sitting out in vacant lot, unable to be sold because they're waiting for semiconductors. I mean...
Well, maybe General Motors can start a semiconductor plant that's UAW organized and pays $10 an hour.
Right. Well, listen, so far they're trying to avoid layoffs, and I did talk with somebody that was kind of close to the source, and they said, now if you think about it, if you've been following the news, there's only 4 plants running right now inside General Motors as far as assembly goes. That's Flint Truck or Flint Assembly, Fort Wayne Assembly, Arlington Assembly, and Wentzville Assembly. Wentzville is back and they're running one shift only.
Now you're just counting the United States, though, so because you got Canada over there.
They closed Canada down, and Salau is closed down right now, supposedly.
When did they close Canada down? Because my buddy said they were running crews, skeleton crews, doing the same thing you just talked about, and parking them in the parking lot, and say when the conductor's there, boom, they're going to plug it in because they're going to come back on the government saying they did all this helping the people, keeping the people working, trying to get a better tax deal.
I think they're all down until at least May 19th.
Cool. Yeah, that was like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago when I was talking to her over there.
Yeah, this was all this last week they were talking about that. So it's happening. And the person I talked to said if it came down to it, because of different modularizations, Arlington and Flint would be the last two to go. So, that's what you talk to. Now they're saying Arlington's a cash cow, and I still say that we're the cash cow, but it doesn't matter. Because Arlington's making the Escalade.
Right.
Which now starts out at $100,000.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, every plant.
Go ahead. Well, these I understand they're high dollar items.
Yeah.
I understand that, and they make more than we do. I understand that they produce more trucks or SUVs a day than we do, but their SUVs are not trucks.
Yeah.
Big
difference. Every plant's a cash cow when you have the pay scale we have now in the UAW.
Yeah.
They can make good money on anything they build. You know, when you pay crap wages.
And I don't know. Do they have any legacy down there per se? Because right now at Orient, I'm told the only legacy there is skilled trades. I was told they forced all production back out of there. I'm talking about legacy production.
I don't know. I can find out.
Yeah, because I talked to a female skilled tradesman. She is actually off right now as herself. She voluntarily took it with 24 years, but she goes, no, we have no more, true legacy production workers. She goes, we got tier two. I guess they got a tier two legacy worker now. I guess they want them to die off and go away too. I don't know.
That's the in progressive.
Oh, okay.
That's the in progression worker. So, Orion is not down. They are still running. I talked to somebody. They finally got back.
Well, I'm not saying
like
that. I knew they were running. I just, like I said, I don't think they got any, like I said, that type of production people. I think they're all lower tier or top. But I do know they forced a lot of our tradespeople from 659 down there. I've talked to a couple of pipe fitters that are down there, and they're going ape shit because they're working 7 days, 12 hours.
Did Adrian ever get her phone taken care of so she can talk again?
Well, she's
first one, Adrian.
No, she's here she is. I thought she was still on. There she is, Adrian.
First one.
I've been back. I've just been listening.
Oh.
I knew.
Yeah, because I didn't have anything to say. I was asking about Lake Orion last week.
Right on.
Right.
You know, because I had heard that they were getting rid of all the legacy out of there, and that, you know, it was temps, tears, and I guess some Infrogression.
From what I was told, all of, like, Legacy or Infrogression are now gone, far as on the production side, but not as trades. But all trades there, from what I understood, I think are being forced 12s now. It sounds like that's a pretty common thing across the boards with skilled trades. They're going to work them like dogs if they won't retire, I guess.
I'll put them on an alternative work schedule, 7 on, 7 off.
Right. Or do the ABC crew.
Yeah.
You know, day shift works.
Right.
Monday, Tuesday,
Monday,
Wednesday,
Thursday. And
yeah.
And the B is Tuesday through Friday, and the C crew is Friday through Monday days and afternoons.
Night. Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now Don worked at, he worked C crew and he loved it, but it was advantageous at our local. C crew was a sought after crew because
10%.
Well, that,
no, they got a lot more.
They got
10%
more. Yes,
we got more.
We got paid Don. 8 hours more. 40. We worked 40 and got paid 48.
We all got that. But you
yeah.
guys got paid. You guys
oh,
got
yeah,
paid
yeah.
Time and a half.
Yeah, on Saturday. Saturday.
Yeah, you got to work Sunday for straight time.
Yeah, Sunday
was
straight.
I did that for a year when I came back from Pontiac. You know, the whole thing that's just incredible is the union is bent over backwards to accommodate management in every possible way, and our union leadership won't wake up and realize it hasn't saved any jobs.
Well, that's what cracks me up, but you're hearing what us talk about what a good union does. Think about that, people. He was working 40 hours, getting paid for 48, and on top of that, 4 hours of it was time and a half of those 8 hours, wasn't it, Don?
Yeah. I made some good
yeah.
money on C crew.
Yeah. Yeah. Work 40 hours, you get paid for 48.
I did enjoy it.
And Saturday was time and a half, because, see, there was all the time and a half for anybody else, unless you went over 40 hours or you went over your 10 hours. And a lot of times that was what? 10-3, right? 18
yeah.
extra minutes.
So right.
Possible you could get an hour's time and a half in through the week.
Yeah.
Right.
But like I said, you're getting paid 48 hours for only working 40 hours. And yet no other local would duplicate that, you know. And that's what we used to do. If Paul could negotiate a great local contract, Jimmy and Adrian would want to duplicate that same contract at their local.
Right.
We don't do that no more. Now we whipsaw.
Now the object is have the worst possible contract you can have and steal work from other GM plants instead of fighting to bring work in-house that's done outside the corporation.
How about thinking of it this way? They don't know that they agree to what they want. But they want us to accept what they get for us in pattern bargaining, not what we can do with pattern bargaining. That's what it's all about, people. They know what we can do. But they don't like that because, like I said earlier, they're on both sides of the table here. They got a straw in each bowl. When we get screwed, they still get some gravy. When we get a gravy, they get a lot of gravy. Think about it, because then they get it from both sides. Because management always wins, always.
Think
about this last GM strike. If it would have went 2 more weeks, we would have got everything those people walked for. And they knew it, and they chose to starve them out. Oh, we got this. How they had that before you went out, we now know.
Yep.
I was going to tell you that in our building, our C crew was only in the machining department. And we worked Friday, Saturday, Monday, Tuesday. We didn't work on Sundays. That was the agreement in our building, so that we could attend our union meetings. So they said Sunday was a voluntary day, and they were going to leave it as that.
Hmm. Good.
Yeah, but the sea crew didn't last that long. And machining.
Really?
No, then they went into A, B, C, D.
A, B, C, D. Maybe you'll find E.
They had more more work schedules, different alternative work schedules than you could shake a big stick at. But I happen to work in a department that we did the C crew, but once that was over, we didn't have to do any of those others. Because we could keep up with production. I was thankful for that. I didn't want to work the 3 days, off 4 days, work 4 days, off 3 days. No.
Yeah, that can make things difficult, can't it?
Yeah. You know, and even that, they pay you, 43 hours for the 3 days, I think, or 42 hours. And then when you work the 4 days, they pay you 52 hours. They're still cheating. However it goes, you're getting cheated.
Right.
Because those are 12-hour shifts. So you're losing your time and a half on 4 hours every day that you work 12 hours.
Right.
I don't know why.
That's by design.
Yeah, it's all by design.
That's what happened there at Shaft.
Well, the UAW are the company. There's no dividing line between the UAW and the company.
Well, our contract says the union will work toward continuous improvement. It's not improvement for the worker, it's improvement for the company.
But the Constitution also says that they will what? Fight for their members. So
right.
You can't have it both ways.
Well, management doesn't care about our Constitution. All they care about is their agreement they've cut with the union.
That may be true.
Our
but that is not the job of those people that are in the upper echelon of the union to worry about the company. Their job is to worry about the membership.
Sure. That's why I never really got mad too much at the company. I didn't agree with their message, but
right.
At least they paid me. The union was
taking my
money and not representing me.
That's correct.
Not representing me well, I should say.
Yeah.
I still had a grievance procedure. They can fire me just because they didn't like my looks. But for 3 or 4 decades, they've just gradually bargained away all the workers' protections.
Correct.
And there's nothing
and it's
sacred.
Like now they're not doing grievances like they're supposed to, is my understanding,
yeah.
From listening to, you know, and reading some things that some of the members are writing.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
grievances
one of my,
are getting held up.
One of my coworkers had a conversation with a member of the shop committee years ago, and this pretty much spells out the way it is. The shop committee men said there's no such thing as right or wrong anymore. It's just negotiated issues. The union does not have a moral compass anymore. Everything's about negotiated issues. The company gets what they want, and the top union leadership get the things that are of concern to them, and neither party seems to care about the welfare of the worker on the plant floor.
Hmm.
And the union doesn't care what we want. I never heard anybody beg the union to bring us into team concept.
Nope.
That crap came from the top of the union. And I never heard anybody say, man, I'd really like my kids and grandkids to get paid half of what I made and have no insurance on retirement and no pension. That crap came from the top of the union.
It sure did.
They've done everything they can to pacify the company. And in the beginning, the object was to save jobs, but it hasn't saved any jobs. And so the question is, why do they continue with the same policies? Appeasement never works. All you have to look at is the history of World War II. The European countries tried to pacify Adolf Hitler, and they ended up in a war that killed millions of people. And we've had a real slaughter in the auto industry. When our union leadership stood up to management, we had good working conditions and we had jobs.
Yeah, not no more. And it's getting worse.
I mean, no matter how much the union kisses management's rear end, we continue to lose jobs. We get crap pay scales and horrible working conditions.
Everything's horrible except for the population that's employed at Solidarity House and along with the appointed system. And through the training centers, all that, yeah, they're probably doing pretty good if you got, you know, if your straw's in that funnel. I want to point that out to you people. If you're going to go that way, that's where you need to go, just so you know.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. A couple of things. I talked to Dr. Tom Adams today for a while, and he informed me that you have to look at 2019 LM2, the General Motors give the UAW $14 million for joint funds. No, crickets. Anyway.
$14 million.
$14 million for joint funds. And he also asked him, we've had discussions a couple out of 3 weeks about is Solidarity House sold or not. She'll look into that, and he said what you'd have to do is you'd have to get with the City of Detroit and the public records. They would have that. That building has been sold or has been bought. Somebody has to register that building with the City of Detroit, I guess.
City of Detroit and Wayne County.
Well, I don't know if we have
access to
that.
The building sits in the county of Wayne, and it sits in the city of Detroit.
Right. Good thought. Well, he just talked about this. I don't know. It's,
well, to the uneducated person, you hear the term joint funds, so you think of jointness. You think that these positions help us, you know, that these joint program jobs benefit the membership and they benefit management, but they don't. They only benefit management. Dave Yetaw used to say that joint funds were there to reinforce management's will on our membership. I mean, it's jointness is all about speed up, getting more work out of less people. Yeah.
Right, because our union has agreed to under continuous improvement. Part of that language is you're going to reduce the plant population by so many people.
Yeah,
every year. So my question has always been to the top chairman. So what's your number? Because you know, in 20 years, if you continue to do this, you're not going to have anybody here working.
Yeah. Yeah, what's the ultimate goal? You know, I've used the illustration that if somebody pulled up to my house in a new car, a friend of mine, and said, I want to take you for a ride in my new car, I'd say, well, where are we going? And the union never asked management what the ultimate goal was.
You know what I've seen the other day, Paul, and it about made me puke. I seen one of these new guys, he's younger, elected, at the Metal Center, third shift, see him walking from the, what do you call that, the keg,
yeah,
over to, and goes into the hall.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, well, that's freaking weird. It's just, you know, there ain't nobody in this parking lot. He went in and done his business. I'm still sitting outside talking to my youngest daughter, and he comes walking out, and I see him walking back over. This time I see him get in the car and drive away. I guess they now elect people that drive foreign cars, and when I ask somebody that's still working about it, he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, and they let the prick pull in our parking lot, work 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, driving a freaking Toyota, parking a GM parking lot, front row, up front, because they're still working on a local agreement, so they're all getting, you know, 7-12, I guess, is what I've been told. And if I'm not, people, push one, please. I know you're all on the switchboard listening to us. Come on, we need some education here. Tell us the truth, will you, please?
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I was surprised this last week. I couldn't believe it. There was a Maserati in our parking lot.
No, that's probably union made.
Yeah.
Because in Europe, they don't play. You know, they have real unions in Europe.
Yes, they
do.
Yeah.
A foreign car.
Yep.
Is your security, are they contracted?
Yes. But GM's always allowed you to drive a different vehicle. They never bitched at you for driving a foreign vehicle. But if something happened to your foreign vehicle in their parking lot, they didn't do a lot of investigations is what I was told. I don't remember that. I don't know one thing. I never drove a foreign vehicle, so I couldn't speak from any experience.
Right.
I know when management would drive, had a foreign, one of my friends had a foreign vehicle, and he was in management. They made him park out with us, but he parked way out, way in the hell out. And I said, what the hell are you doing out here? I didn't know he drove a foreign car. He said, oh, they won't let me park in a supervisor's parking lot because I drive a foreign car.
Dang. We had a plant female doctor once, man. I don't know what the hell this one car was, but, I mean, it was one of them, like, Ferraris or whatever. I mean, it really popped and snotted and everything. They bitched at her. She never drove that in again, but I do remember she bought one of the most prettiest, yellowest Corvettes, and she drove that in the parking lot every day after that. But I'll never forget, yeah, she drove a foreign hot rod in there, but she goes, I paid over $250,000 for that.
Damn. $250,000 for a vehicle. Amazing.
Well, Cadillac Escalade Platinum Edition, dressed out, $125,000.
Is it?
No. Electric Hummer starts out at $100,000.
Whoa.
$100,000 what that electric Hummer starts out at.
Damn.
$100,000. Yep.
I hired in, I think, you could get a pickup for $12,000. And they had a lot of, you know, pretty much loaded.
Yep. Yep.
I was hoping to hear Don flush the toilet during that. It's a shame I can never buy one of them now.
Well, I'm thinking about it there, Jim. I don't want to hurt your feelings. I care about you, Jimmy.
Sure the hell never stopped him before, Scott.
That's
right.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
There you go, Jimmy. Good for you, buddy.
Turn the exhaust fan on. We need her tonight.
I had somebody answer, make a comment on workers, about the UAW workers now officially on strike. And
right.
This gentleman says, what a waste of time. We did 10 weeks for nothing at all because our crooked president thought it would be a diversion for his guilt. Wow.
Hmm.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
I'm not a swabby or a mind reader, but you just said a bunch of money, according to the LM2s, went somewhere. And think about the guy from New York and then that, what was his name, Gary Joku Lunch Bucket Jones or something like that.
That
was about them time we're running around, you know, on them golf carts, and they had all them villas. Hell, they probably smoked that shit.
Yeah. Man. Something. I'm at a loss of words. I don't know where we're going with this whole thing. It's not looking good. This, as EV production ramps up, like you said, even the educated people are saying we're going to lose 25% to 30% of the workforce at traditional work, you know, traditional assembly plants. They want to pay less money. I know there's starting to be a turnaround with temporaries at multiple plants now. They seem to work for anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks, sometimes a little bit longer, and they quit.
They ain't quitting. I'm being told they're not getting told to come back, Scott. My one buddy
really?
Told me, he goes, I didn't do nothing wrong. They just quit telling us we had a job. I go, what? He goes, yeah, I had 11 weeks, did nothing wrong. Next thing I know was, nope, didn't get that call to come to work.
And all the facilities are still bringing in more people to train, more temporaries.
Something.
Of course. That's where that
makes no
training
sense.
That training center money awards through that. Think of all the people that are involved in training them people. Think about it. You're painting the picture. Can't you see it?
Right. Right.
UAW workers are pretty much the only people that are moving backwards. Everybody else gets pay raises. We keep going backward through the negotiation process. That's the weird thing about it.
Well, that's why I said one of these days, very, very soon, we're going to have to get down in the right location at the right spot, get the media with us, and I'm not talking about one or two of us. It would take 100.
Or more.
The trumpet, I can stomp my feet and shake a finger.
Man, I know that's right.
You don't have to listen to me, but I know sign language.
Some good sign language at that.
Amen, yeah. Sister. I've been taught by some of the best.
I know that's right.
That's the three zone.
Yeah.
You take them first three fingers of your hand and raise them all up and read between them lines. That's the three zone.
Then run like hell. Then run like hell.
Yeah.
Yep.
But anyway, people, you know, we got to quit talking about this because your numbers are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Now they're talking this shit with the transmission and all that. Think about what we've told you. They're not going to negotiate their pay scale through our contracts. They're going to go with this. Who was it again? Yeah, I don't remember either. Nobody. No pattern, no wages pattern set up, no benefits shit set up. So they're coming into the game new. Sure, they ain't going to want to pay. But this is where your union needs to stand up and say, hey, bullshit, this is what they were going to get. If not, you don't get our people, because they have the right to sell the job but not the workforce. And that's where the union screwed up, in my humble opinion, because you son of a guns did it to me once with American Axle. Next thing I know, I don't work for GM. I got to work for this new company, American Axle. But thank God Dick Doubt did a few good things while I was still there. In the end, the people got fucked, as you well know, and the jobs went to Mexico. And they blame a lady in the union with Wendy Thompson, who, in my humble opinion, was a damn good union person. I want that said about that lady. It was on her watch that they decided to pull the plug.
Wow.
Well, it's been a process they've been carrying on for 30 years, Jim, and they understand the union has no intention to do anything about it. They don't have a strategy. I mean, they've been outsourcing work for 30 years, and their object is to get it down to it's just a bite-sized union.
If you look at our books, I mean, we haven't had nobody good in the union since, like, Irving Bluestone and that gang. Those are the people that went in, sat down, pounded their fists on the table, raised their voice. They probably even swapped spit, yelling at each other. But they didn't get up. They didn't walk out. They stayed. They negotiated. And you got a fair, equal agreement. But you always had one thing that kept it all equal, people. And remember this. Back then, we had this four-letter word called COLA. That kept us all right there because that New York played a game with the stock market and kept our salary and wages up through something called the cost of living index, I believe it was.
That's correct.
Well, now it's a different game, Jim. How low can you go?
That's right.
That's what it appears.
It's not about elevating the worker. It's about getting the most bang for the buck for management. I mean, as long as our contract says our union will work toward continuous improvement, we've got a problem. Because what is continuous improvement? What does it really mean? How do you define it in concrete terms? It's a ever-changing target.
Their goal is to get it down to
where they have no workforce.
One target that they never showed up, but they talked about it, Scott, once. Remember that? Now it's you ain't never heard anything else. But something about some offshore accounts. I bet you they're growing pretty good with this new money we're hearing.
I bet you.
General Motors has been circumventing our contract with joint ventures and outsourcing for three decades.
It's not just General Motors. It's all of them.
Well, no, it's
right.
All three of the automotive.
Well, sure, they get together and they share their strategies. Mm-hmm. Their goal is to virtually eliminate their workforce and just have people working for crap wages, because under the law, if you go on strike over wages, they can hire replacement workers. Pretty easy to hire a few hundred replacement workers, but it wouldn't have been easy to hire 400,000 workers.
That's probably true after the labor relations thing. If you've seen, was it last week or the week before, they allowed, is it ATI, to bring in scabs and work while they were trying to negotiate? How the hell does that work out for you?
It doesn't work out.
Does anybody remember the term right-sizing?
Yeah.
Or had you ever heard of that term?
Yeah, I have.
No.
That term was coined back in the 80s, in the late 80s.
Yeah.
They started right-sizing. Chrysler was the only one that they considered at that time to be right-sized by 1990.
Yeah, that was through the era that Jokic got me. You got to remember, from the fall of 85 to November of 94 or 92, somehow they hid my seniority rights to a recall list and supposedly sent a letter, but it kept going to Alberta, Canada, instead of Alberta, Michigan. And then 5 years later, I found out about it, and I got my job back, but not that seniority either.
Wow. That's amazing.
Right size.
I've never heard of that one. That's cool.
It's just,
GM.
You know, that's just another, that was an introductory term for downsize.
That's exactly what it was.
Right,
downsizing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and then from the time I retired, they were talking about core and non-core work.
Yeah.
You know, you still need janitors to clean the plant. You still need booth cleaners to clean your paint booth, but it wasn't core work.
Yeah.
The only thing that was core was absolute worst work.
Yeah, that's true. Scott, they were talking about our plan about four trucks, the drivers being non-core.
Yeah, and if basically it came down to it that if you weren't tied directly to the line, you were going to be considered non-core.
Yeah.
Yep.
At Pontiac at East Assembly, what they did, they kept the sub-assembly jobs, but you actually had to sub-assemble and stick the part on the truck. So you couldn't go anywhere.
Right. That's like the guy who used to do the gas tank jobs down there on chassis 1, Don. Remember,
yeah.
They build them up, and then they had to put them on the line. So they were,
right.
You know, they did sub-assembly. They were tied to the line.
Right.
That's right.
And the thing is, the unions bought into all that lunacy because these people haven't worked in a line in years. They don't know what it's like to have a 50 or 60-year-old body trying to keep up to a job, or you're working, you know, 59 seconds a minute.
Right. Right.
Anytime
right.
they have to take a whiz, they just do it. There's
nobody
telling them they have to raise their hand and wait 3 hours.
And Miss Estrada, she's never worked in a factory.
Right.
That's correct.
I
shouldn't even be where
Jerry
she's at.
An accountant by training?
Who?
Well, her daddy owned a bar.
On the floor.
Oh, he did?
Dad
I thought he was an accountant.
No, her dad owned a bar across the street from the plant, did he not?
Right.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they have her listed as being an activist. She had been an activist, but it's like
her
she
dad,
didn't work for anybody.
Right.
Her dad and two other tradesmen owned that bar that was up there on that corner, and I don't know, but anyway, the rest is history or memories or whatever you people want to think of. I ain't commenting there. Thank you very much.
She,
I know how I can support
had,
my brother, Brian Keller.
She said that she had worked with Cesar Chavez, which the timeline which she gave, Cesar Chavez had already stepped away and was going crazy. And so that was a fallacy. How she came through the ranks was through her husband, Frank White. The man is deceased now. I feel bad for, you know, that situation because she lost her husband and the two young boys, they lost their father. But that's how she came through.
But she should never have obtained, she should never have been able to be in the position that she is. She should have been an employee of the UAW.
Right. I agree.
Well, you don't have to be qualified to move up in the UAW.
I didn't say anything about qualified.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Because a lot of times it's not who
it
you know, it's who
you
don't
have, really have
I
relevant
experience.
That's right.
You know?
But however,
I understand there's an expertise level, but I've never understood, seen how they define it. But some people, I have different expertises if I understand body English, but oh God, I don't know.
Even I have to laugh at that.
I could tell you what that line between those is, but we're a family program, so I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Yeah, because we might get that lady that call and say, you know, her children are listening.
I figure, yeah. I figure we all are adults. We can figure it out.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's just suffice it to say at one time, before you got an international staff, you had to distinguish yourself as a union president or a bargainer.
Right.
And now they'll just take anybody who's a yes man.
Yeah. Yep.
As long as you're willing to go along with the program, they'll put you on staff.
That's right.
Particularly if you're related to the right people.
That's what I was going to say.
And, the nepotism and cronyism is what's destroying our union, because we have people on staff that really don't know how to do the job.
That's evident.
They don't know how to tell management no. And mean
no.
It.
Well, you got people on staff, as the lady just said, should never be there.
Yeah.
Never be there.
Yeah, they should.
You know, and I, like I said last week, I think I made that pretty well. I feel that way over both the Jewel kids. They shouldn't be there.
Mm-mm. They should.
Nor should been a lot of relatives that we could sit here and go through a whole lot of names.
The thing is, we shouldn't pick on names because, you know, the names are really irrelevant. It's the union practices that's the problem. And that's why
right. We
have to get the one man, one vote. You know, we've got, 15 jailbirds in the UAW?
Yeah,
you know,
there should be a lot more.
Unless we clean the union up some way and have some accountability to the union, we'll just produce more.
Yeah, you're right there.
Because look.
And folks, I guess I am sorry about that, but that one there is personal to me, and Paul, you by no, everybody knows why.
Are something that's recent, and they come out of the tier.
They never were in the tier. They never were in the tier.
What were they?
They come out of the plant. 30 days in, was taken to the regional and hit, went to international, and the language is there, as their fate is, legacy or whatever the hell you want to call us. They never played in that field. That's what I'm saying. They shouldn't be there.
The reason I say tier is because it was after 2007.
Right.
But they find ways to make exceptions to take care of their own.
Yeah, they get hired.
Right.
Yeah, they hire them, and then they have special provisions for them.
Yeah, they bring them in as tier under the tier system.
You're right.
And they're only there for 30 days, and then
they
move them. And once they move them, the corporation hires them.
They've gotten gradually more outrageous with their practices. Could you imagine what would have happened 30 or 40 years ago, if some things like this happened? I know some people would have gotten beaten up in the parking lot.
Sure, blanket party.
No, absolutely.
No doubt in my mind. They wouldn't have dared to do it.
No.
And now they no longer have any standard. They don't have any fear or respect for the membership. I remember when I worked at the truck plant many years ago, that one of the guys who was an old timer told me, it was, you know, you just better see that committee man out on the floor every day. that that's just the way it is.
Right.
They were out on the floor, and they were seen, and they were doing their job. A committee man can get away with hiding in his in the work center for days. You know,
yeah, for days.
Jack Brown was my he had been the chairman at the Metal Center, and he'd been the union president of Local 659. And I was talking to him one day. He told me when the union first wanted to build work centers, management didn't want to pay for them. But after they built a few, they realized the committee men just used it like an office and didn't come out on the floor. So management wanted to build them because it kept the committee man out of their hair.
Can I throw this question out here? Because something was just said a few minutes ago about how they don't respect the members.
Right.
Why should they?
Yeah.
Can we work on that? Why should they respect the membership?
Well, they're supposed to have an ethical code, but it doesn't
I didn't say suppose. I said why should they? Let's deal with that. What does the membership do or demand of their people that's supposed to represent them?
They don't demand much anymore.
Good question. Long time ago, there was a preacher. I remember he said one time, there is absolutely nothing wrong with your child having a healthy fear of mom or dad.
Right.
And that rings true to this now. I think if we look at it as being parent, there's no fear from the international about the membership, like you say, that they're supposed to be representing.
Mm-hmm. The membership is the parent.
Yeah. Like you said, why should they respect us? Nothing happens to them. They don't say crud with a mouthful of it. They take whatever we give them. We've stolen money from them.
They found that the membership's easy to manipulate. You can bring a bad contract before them that calls for eliminating jobs and closing their plants, and as long as you throw them a big enough bone, they'll vote for it.
Yeah, bribe.
I mean, lately they've thrown bigger bones out, but the thing is that's what they've found out. If you front load the contract a little bit of money, the people will fall for anything.
But then you have no right to complain, right?
Right.
Wow.
That's what we have to work on.
Yeah.
We have to work on our members, you know, our brothers and sisters, to get them to understand what's happening to them.
Yeah.
And why. It's important, and this is why I brought up that right sizing. It's important that you go back in time to come forward. When I said right size, they were forecasting for a number of years. That's the way they do it.
Yeah.
They forecast what they're going to do for X amount of years. And at this time, it should be completed.
Oh, it has been and then some.
That's the original
Warren letter that was published out to some Dick Dangin's story be told was to completely destroy Don Eflin. And when they put this out there, there was progression. They wanted to be below so many workers in so many years.
They wanted to eliminate 100,000 workers. And what have they eliminated, 400,000?
They got more than that right now, don't they? You know? So, you know what I mean? It's just,
now we have to do something to help our, you know, like I said, help the rest of the membership. And it's like, I don't know just how we can go about it. The one member, one vote, it sounds just absolutely terrific on paper. But it's being sabotaged. I mean, no one has heard anything about it, right? Wasn't Rory, aren't they supposed to roll out information to the membership?
They're doing the same thing they did when they took over our fight for, what was it, Article 8 and something else, or what was it?
31.
Yeah, they're doing the same thing. We'll take it over. We'll shut up. It'll go away like a bad turd does. You know, when you take a real stinky shit, people, think about this. It smells terrible. But then in a month, it ain't so bad. But then in 2 months, it's petrified. It don't stink no more, but it's still a piece of shit.
That's correct.
I think the word that I'm thinking would probably fit in here right now is called desensitized. I think that would fit in this category right now, don't you think?
Yeah,
probably even worse. We've become acclimated to losing something every contract.
Yeah.
Well, when we start thinking about the temps and the tiers, they came in acclimated.
Yes.
So, yes. You know, they've never had what some of us have had.
Right.
And, you know, so the powers that be have got them running around saying, you all are the ones, you legacy, you retirees, screwed us.
Well, the sad thing is we voted
just like
for
they
it.
Wanted to work.
One at a time. Go ahead.
I agree with what you said there, Paul, about what we voted for. But in the GM contract, and I'm sure the Chrysler contract's been the same way. I don't know about the Ford. But they left so many open-ended paragraphs that had no language. And now, what are we going in our almost into our second year or going, finishing our second year? And this language is showing up that wasn't there when we voted on this, but they're saying you voted on it. Well, where the hell is, like I said, somebody's got, when can you start throwing shit on the wall? To me, this is a living agreement. This ain't a damn contract.
Something. It's something. It just, acclimated, desensitized. It's appalling, because if you would have tried to run this garbage in 1985, it wouldn't have flown.
No, it wouldn't have.
1979, you talked about temporary workers and tier systems, and it would have been a massacre. You know,
right.
This is, like I said, this is by design. This has been forecasted out. This has been planned on. There has been involvement from the International Executive Board. I mean, I can prove that from back in the day. When these people knew about this, and they didn't do anything about it.
This is part of their programming. It's called Learned Helplessness. They told us about this for decades. Now it's happening. Like, well, why should it be a surprise? I mean, it all
right.
plays into their end game. If you look at the books, and like I said, from the war, everything in the Warren letters came true except for one thing. It's probably, if you can multiply that by 30,000. I'm not lying. I mean, you talk about the money that, I mean, it's sad that, and what's sad is it's our, like I, we're telling you, it's our own local that is giving the okay, yeah, you can do this. We throw a bone at them. Better make it a bigger bone this time around. They're giving a lot up. You better throw one where it's going to take both hands to catch that sumbitch this time, and it worked, didn't it? $10,000? Wow. Congratulations, people.
Yeah.
Yes,
man. Yeah.
$10,000.
Well, the principle is to just do it gradually.
Like boiling a frog.
Yeah.
You don't put him in a hot pot of water and jump right out. But if you put him in lukewarm water and he's comfortable and you slowly, gradually turn the heat on, eventually, why is it so hot? He's acclimated to it. He's dead. He's literally cooked himself.
Well, thank
and,
you
and
for
I agree.
Pointing that to us, Scotty. We would have never got that.
That's for the listeners. I knew you knew it.
I think everybody that listens to this show knows about the frog. But thank you for, in case we had some kindergartners.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, I like Adrian's thought. We have to work on that. So how do we work on that? You tell these people who are tier 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7, I guess, now, if you want to make more money, you vote no on that next contract. But does it make you whole and bring you back to traditional wages? Vote no on it. I guess there's only way I can tell you. It's going to cost you money. And
it's
then,
not costing
then,
you money. It's I guess it is costing you money. Look at it the way Scott says. It's costing you money, but you're getting respect. You know, I would give anything if General Motors had its 151 classifications they gave up. Yeah, people, just in GM alone, on the production side of the house, we gave up 151 classifications. We had 96 at gear and axle alone.
Yeah.
That's something. That is something.
Yeah, we had well over 100 when I started in the truck plant. And,
yeah.
You know, it protected. What it did was it protected older workers from work speed-ups.
Yeah. Lines of demarcation, and we had language of classifications.
Yeah.
Again, respect. And seniority was the providing factor there. Again, people, notice seniority was the number one governing factor on who got them jobs. You paid your dues, you got a little bit of reward. But in all these classifications, you're not talking, what, maybe a buck and a half difference from top to bottom, but everybody had their own hours they worked within, so everybody in your classification had a chance to make the same nickel you did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, management didn't like it because it took away their flexibility and made it harder for them to predict the cost of a vehicle when they had all those classifications. But, you know, when it boils down to, it's easy for one generation to give up what their parents fought for, and that's what's happened in the union. You know, the generation that fought for everything has died off. Their kids didn't value it, and their grandkids don't value anything but the money they can make. And it's sad. The best thing we can do is, for one thing, continue to run for union office and write handbills and educate people.
You're here.
You're right, Paul.
Because, you know, that's what I do, and I have a hoot doing it. You know, I get a lot of laughs from it because I know it disturbs the people in a higher level of the union that some lunatic is out there by himself handing out handbills and talking about issues.
Right.
They hate that. They'd rather you be out there handing out a card that has your name on it and then asking people to vote for you without talking about anything relevant.
Yep.
You know, I had a good time at the Metal Center, you know, doing that. It worked. You know, I got elected convention delegate twice, and as far as I know, I'm the only independent ever get elected out of that plant as an independent. And I did it once as a worker and once as a retiree. And the thing is, it's, you know, people need to hear the truth. And the thing is, we all understand the truth.
Yep, yep.
And, I know for a fact Skilled Trades reads everything that goes into a plant because they got time to do it.
All right. Yeah, you're right about that. I learned a lot when I hired in from Skilled Trades.
Yeah. They practice solidarity.
Well, they got that big computer center upstairs at Metal Fab now. You know, there's 40 computers on the internet. And trust me, people, management would rather have 20 guys in Skilled Trades up there playing on their computers for two reasons. One, they know what they're doing. Two, that also means their lines are running. Remember that.
Yep. I heard that report, Jim, from a supervisor years ago. He said, I don't care if they sleep. I don't care as long as they're in the plant. I don't care what they're doing as long as my plant is running, period.
Yep.
Amen.
But the supervision is not like that anymore.
Yeah. No, they're
either.
Not. That was the union. I remember it was the union. Through the international at Region 1, not even 1A, 13 mile and 75 was the very first that I seen. It showed a union brother leaning on a broom and says, if you got time to lean, you got time to clean. And the next thing you know, you were screwing out your janitor on the line. And then that turned into this big cluster struck or whatever you want to call that we have today.
Now you have to... They have to do their own cleaning.
We used to get a cleanup. Yeah, we used to get 5 minutes to wash our hands, and they took that away. And hell, now I'm told they only get one pee break a day at Metal Fab.
I got rode up in Lansing when the line went down. I was just in Lansing, you know, when we were shut down to remodel the plant for the G-Van. We got shipped all over the place. I got rolled up because they said, clean up, the line's down. I said, hell, I'm not cleaning up nothing. Are you kidding me? You came from Flint. I said, yeah, I came from Flint. Well, we don't work like Flint. We do things different here. Well, the president and the chairman told us the same thing. You Flint people will work. This isn't Flint. And we're not going to coddle you. You're going to work. Said, boy,
they babied us. They babied the people from Metal Flab when they went to Lansing, but they did it a different way. They worked their ass off there. But when you talk to the people, we got paid to sit on they drove to Metal Center, got on a GM paid bus. And they got paid one way of the transportation there on the clock. So they all got overtime every day of about almost 2 hours.
Wow.
So they were very well rewarded. Yeah, when little Mikey showed me that, he goes, why would I not? He goes, man, I was working 40 hours a week getting paid for 50. And I go, what? He goes, yeah, they paid one way of the bus ride, and they paid the gas every day. He goes, hell, I was making out better. He goes, I was doing good until they caught me. I guess he started sneaking a beer or two on the cooler on the bus. I guess they caught him drinking on the bus coming home. They weren't too cool with him there, but I can understand that, too.
They made me go to Saginaw, and I'm glad they did. I never made so much money that I didn't. Saginaw, they would call me at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning, and I'll pay you 8 hours if you come in and work four, making parts. I said, yeah, I'll be right down. You know, I live in Flint or Swartz Creek. I'll be down.
I Ashley was born in May of 85. I got laid off in September of 85, and I never got called back. I kept calling down to my local, don't worry about it, we'll take care of it. Well, then Grand Rapids was higher, and a couple of years later, I went over there. They told me I still had recall rights to my plant in Detroit, so therefore they couldn't hire me at Grand Rapids. I'm like, but I'm hungry. You know, I had exhausted everything by then.
Right.
Well, and 6 years later, I get this letter, like I told earlier, that, hey, we're sorry, but if you report to work within 48 hours, you know, we're going to drug test you. You're good to go. I come in, you know, I pissed in a cup. The rest is history. I was good to go. And then, like I said, 2 years later, American Axle bought the joint. And I don't know. I stayed there until the second week of August, June of 95, I think it was. And that's when I reported to Flint, or June of 98.
Wow.
June of 98.
Yeah.
Well, we're in overtime, folks. Just to let you know.
Yeah, we are. I think, has anybody got anything we didn't cover? Because there's a lot of strikes going out there. I don't know if anybody read about all the and they're actually supposedly going to be offering some training on all this bullshit that union reps are doing. If you've seen through the tombsters of all the corruption and shit that's going on, it's being posted everywhere. And it's sad when you read it. It looks like now.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, I'm trying not to read too much here lately.
Yeah,
it's depressing, sister. It's depressing.
Yes, it is. It's starting to make me have anxiety attacks. And it's like, nope, not going to deal with this. Even all the way down to the television. If I'm watching and they start talking about the COVID, get the vaccine, I switch the channel. I'm tired. Every
yeah, you get
day.
Tired of that's true.
Yeah, now we've got all these shootings going on. I mean, they had one at Briarwood. I don't go to malls anyway. But it's like, you know, you had a shooting at Briarwood. You had one in Nebraska at a mall. It's like, I'm just tired. I'm tired.
Yeah, shooting, I guess, last night in a bar.
Yeah, I heard that, but what state was that in? I ain't caught the state yet.
Let me see if I still have it. I can't remember.
It's getting stupid here, people. I mean,
yes.
There's other ways to resolve things than with a firearm. And,
yes.
You know,
yeah.
It's just sad. Adrian, do you get on votes?
Do I get on votes?
Yeah, one of these days, I mean, you just can go fishing, honey. We'll get the hell away, you know.
Oh.
That way we can call each other all kinds of names. I don't care. We'll go fishing.
I haven't been on a boat in quite a while.
All right. Well, if I get my dinghy out this year, I'll call you. And I ain't talking about that dinghy. I'm talking about my little boat, hon.
I'm going to talk to Mr. Adrian.
Well, I had to correct that couch guy out real quick because I knew where he was at. You know?
I was about to make a phone call later during the night.
That guy, what was it, Don? Space truck, and I seen you and that guy doing the same move.
I ain't saying nothing. I'm just keeping an eye on you two.
Yeah, you called him Mr. Natural.
I'm going to talk to Mr. Adrian later on tonight. Keep him
wait for this weather to break where we've got at least constant 60s.
Yeah.
Captain,
got
what?
Some cold days coming. Got some cold days coming. They're talking.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're
we're
supposed to snow Wednesday.
Snow on Tuesday night.
Yeah,
I'm turning into a racist, right? Don. Really,
I pulled
I'm turning into racist. I'm sick of that white shit out there.
I pulled out my fur thong again. I put it away for the summer.
It's too early.
I know our biggest snowstorms came in. Has come in April and May. April for sure. The biggest one, 1967.
Yeah. Shit, I never thought about that. I put my little plow away too. Damn it, couch! I'll have to call you.
I tell you.
April 24th, I think, was the date or something.
Yeah, it was late. April. I remember we couldn't open our doors. We had a slider in the back patio. That's how we could get out.
Wow.
It was that much snow. It was terrible. General Motors even shut down.
Oh,
and
you
people
know it had to be bad.
Emergency
snowmobiles
on the road. Emergency snowmobiles. Taking people to the hospital.
Mother's Day of 89 up in Alberta. My dad lived 22 miles inland. He called me up and goes, "You coming over this morning?" I says, "Dad, I ain't even went outside yet. I've got to hook up my plow." He goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "I got about 2.5 feet of snow." He goes, "You do not." I go, "I do too, Dad." He goes,
"You just don't want to come over."
He got in his truck and drove over. He goes, "If I wouldn't have come over," he goes, "we got no snow at our house." And he only lived 18 miles away, and I had 2.5 feet. But I lived right on the shore of Lake Michigan. I got into that lake effect shit. And, man, when it comes, look out.
Yeah.
That's right.
Sure will bury you. It sure will.
Well, it's supposed to be, between 1 and 2 inches, I think?
That's what I saw.
That's what we're supposed to possibly get. You guys are supposed to get more. They adjusted the model.
Yeah, I didn't see that where Detroit was getting maybe 3 to 5.
Yeah, I told Cinnamon she, never mind.
Have to look to see from where it's coming. Is it coming
southwest.
From the... Oh, okay.
It's coming from the northwest, ain't it?
The storm's coming up from the southwest, but it's hitting that cold front that's coming from the northwest. They're going to collide.
So turn your fan on. Turn your fan on. You might help it. Point it southeast.
Well, if it's coming from the southwest, I'm going to get it. Because I'm south and west.
Yeah. Well,
sure. You're listening to WTAC Weather ahead of much more music at the Big Six. Adrian, tell us the weather forecast for the next 4 or 5 months, please. Carry on.
Well, my knee is hurting.
My gal's
down on Woodward
Avenue. I know what the hell.
Motown down on Woodward Avenue. God, that would be the
right.
Day. I wish I'd have lived to see that era when that played. My dad talked about it. That would have been cool to be that when, when that was going on. I barely remember the riots.
Oh, I remember them like they were yesterday.
The Detroit riots?
Yep, the one in 67.
That's the one I'm referencing.
And then they had a small one in 68 when Martin Luther
68.
King was assassinated.
Yep, that was when my cousin got in trouble, that one.
I remember them quite well.
That was the one that they involved the armory there, remember?
Oh, that was 67.
We had one in 72 also.
That was the one my cousin got involved in. I guess he was the one that knew how to drive the tank.
Oh.
We had cops in the schools in 72 also, and... I can't remember what that was about. I can't.
What happened in 72?
That was when that segregation shit was going on, Don, because, man, I was involved in that. That was when that shit with, what was the guy from Georgia? Was it Wallace? He wound up in a wheelchair?
Oh, Wallace.
That was Alabama.
That was
in
that time frame.
No, it was 1968. He got shot in 68.
No, but I think that was over some of his bullshit down there with that segregation is what I meant.
No. That was over a long time before that. Yeah.
Well, in April of 1968, Martin Luther King was assassinated.
Right.
He was killed in June.
Right. But we had a small riot in Detroit.
Oh,
in
yeah.
In 1968. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you did. Will Horton got on top of a cop car and told in his uniform after a night game and told all these folks to go home because he's from Detroit and he's from that area. Mm-hmm. They listened to him. They listened to
mm-hmm.
him. And,
yes,
and,
they did.
You can see a picture on the internet from the Free Press and the news.
I was in Tiger Stadium that night. I remember that smoke just came over the outfield. my dad and Sonny grabbed me and Blake by the hands. Out the door we went, man. It was unbelievable. Like you said, the city was on fire.
I was watching, it was Channel 9 in Windsor, I think it was Windsor Station. And it
That's
was
right.
CKLW had a TV show, and they had Martha Reeves and the Vandellas on, and two of the Supreme, Mary Wilson and Flo, they were on, and one of the producers came in and whispered, you could see him whispering to Byron McGregor. I don't know if you remember him.
That name sounds familiar.
2020, CKLW, 2020 News. I can't even do, man, he had a voice.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And he said, oh, look out the windows, folks, because Detroit's on fire. Because across the river, you could see the smoke.
Mm-hmm.
So, damn. But I can't remember what went on in 72. Something was going on because the schools had all, every high school had police officers.
Was that about the time of the Kent State shit? 72, wasn't that Kent State where the four were killed down there?
I don't know. This is a racial thing, though, Jim. I don't think that wasn't about that.
No, that was about Nam, I think.
Yeah, it was about the guy that showed that lady or girl holding that young man's head and crying, you know, she's in this. I tell you, that was terrible. That was another mistake by the our famous government, along with Ruby Ridge and down there in Texas. I can't remember what the cult was. What was that cult?
Oh, yeah, they had some kind of shooting in Texas, too.
Waco.
And Austin today.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Shooting
They shot that woman, Ruby Ridge, in her, you know, they wouldn't leave. They wouldn't come out. They surrounded the house and just shot the mother right through the head. Beautiful.
Well, folks, I'm going to let you all go.
Okay, darling.
And,
we'll shut her down.
Everybody have a good week. Be careful. And if you have to go work,
are you
Wednesday
working
morning,
this week?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
I gotta leave.
Stay safe.
I gotta leave early. I think Wednesday morning because they're talking about the roads could be a little bit sloppy.
Yeah, that's what they said.
So how much do you want to get? 1 to 2 inches.
Yeah, 1 to 2 inches.
Oh, for God's sake, sloppy. What are you talking about?
Because it's going to be cold. Ground's warmed up, but when you get there, because we're going to have 3 days, we're going to have in the 30s, and then for 3 nights, it's going to be in the 20s.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to be cold when it hits, and then it's going to stay cold.
Okay.
I got a question, Scott.
Is he
UAW? Because, you know, that would factor into how accurate this son of a bitch is going to be.
Yeah. Good question. He says 1 to 2. You're getting 5 or 6, pal.
Okay, guys, we're going to shut it down on that one.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
You all stay
good night,
safe.
Everybody.
We'll talk to everybody next Sunday, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, UAW Factory Whistle Show. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.